everybody, welcome to another episode of Nerds with Friends. My name is Cody, and as always, I'm joined by Christian Garcia.
Buenos.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Make sure you're liking and subscribing. It helps us out a ton. Also, check out the Patreon, patreon.com/nerdswithfriends. Let us know that you love the show. We love to hear it. Today, we're going to be talking a little bit about the newest Magic set, Magic the Gathering, that is, to hit the market, the Wilds of Eldraine, and how, you know, pricing of Magic cards has gotten a little ridiculous lately. So if you're into Magic at all or any of the trading card games, you know, definitely be a show for you. Before we do that, let's start the show as we always do with some nerdy confessions, where we confess the things that make us nerds. Christian, what's your nerdy confession?
So my nerdy confession is, as Cody knows, started playing a lot more of Diablo. And then leveling up, my barbarian is starting to finally feel like a barbarian versus before in the beginning, very much squishy. It's like the squishiest barbarian ever to exist. But yeah. Now, with the berserks, it's starting to had some pretty cool. I didn't do it when me and Cody were playing yesterday. I changed my whole setup, but I had some pretty nice setups with berserk where I was like kind of continuously berserking, which is dope. And now I've been getting some pretty good upgrades. But the confession is, like, even though he's starting now to feel great and fun, I've been kind of itching to start a necromancer. Just because I feel like the story of this one is very necromancer heavy.
Sure. And a lot of demons and undead and stuff like that, you know.
But not only that, but what's her name?
Lilith.
Lilith's son is a necromancer, and it, like, at least there's a big chunk of the story that's very much about him. So it's like, oh, I wonder what the story would be like playing as a necromancer. It'll probably, because there's some cuts, not cutscenes, but there's some parts where on the map where you go to, and it's all barbarian, it's all druid, or I don't know about the rogue stuff, but I've only played as the druid and the barbarian. So there's like different locations on the map that's like, oh, that's the village or the area where that, you know, tribe is from, and you have missions there. It's like, oh, I wonder what stuff there is for the necromancer.
Right.
Plus, you always see, you know who the necromancer is in the game, because you see him rolling with like 15 like skeletons.
Yeah, whenever you see a necromancer, it's like, oh, here's all the skeletons. Yeah, one thing I will say about the necromancer, because my friend David's playing one right now, the minions lose their like effectiveness later in the game. Like, so once you get to like level 55-60, like you go into a boss fight and the minions just die instantly. So like later in the game, most of the time you have to change to like a more of a weapon based spell based kind of build. But yeah, it's fun, man. Like, I will say that because I'm playing a druid right now, and it took a long time for that character to feel good. And once I got to like 50, 55 or so, then it started to really like really work, you know, and it started to feel powerful. And, you know, and now, you know, you see that, you see my druid just going in and just fucking curb stomping people,
which is crazy. The way you play him, like, that was the first character I made, and I never used any of the earth stuff. It was always, to me, one of the weakest things. It was always the wind or the lightning or the werewolf. Outside of that, I never really did too much.
Yeah, so the way, one thing that's kind of cool that I've enjoyed playing this druid is you can kind of build it so that all your bear skills are also earth skills, and like all your earth skills are also bear skills. So you're like doubling up on these bonuses. And so, like, you know, in the game of Diablo, you know, when you hit someone, it shows you how much damage you do. You know, it shows how much damage is coming off. I've gotten a couple that are like 800,000 damage, like crits and stuff, you know. So it feels really good when that stuff's popping off. But yeah, for the first, like, I don't know, 45, 50 levels, I was like, dude, like, this druid class just sucks. And then, but once you kind of like, once you unlock some of the higher level stuff, you start putting together the gear that complements it right, it starts like working. And I think that's a fun part of Diablo, where like when I played Sorcerer from the beginning, you know, like I might not have been the toughest character out there, but it always felt fairly powerful. Like you could do cool, powerful spells and stuff. I never felt like I was like just getting stomped on by things that were my level, you know? So yeah, it's interesting how all the classes feel kind of different that way. So, but yeah.
Yeah, well, your sorcerer always been crazy. We're like, when we've gone into, well, now the bosses that were destroying us when you were the sorcerer, like now with the druid is like easy work. But like you would always outlast all of us, even as the squishy sorcerer.
Yeah. So like in with the sorcerer, because they're kind of squishy, I had a lot of defensive skills on. So I could just continuously do my, it was based around like one basic spell. I forget what it was called, like ice shards or something like that. It was based along that one spell. Everything else was designed to like keep me alive essentially. So yeah, it's a different play style for sure. And I think a lot of people sleep on defensive skills, because everyone, you know, you want more powerful spells and abilities, right? You know, you want to throw fireballs, you want to throw lightning, but like you don't, you know, don't sleep on the defensive skills, because staying alive means you get to throw more fireballs and stuff. So I think it's important to have that as well, you know. My nerdy confession, and we'll probably talk more about this once you start playing, but I've started playing the game Starfield by Bethesda Studios, which is, you know, the makers of Fallout and Skyrim and all that kind of stuff. And I'll be, you know, the main part of my nerdy confession here is that I'm not a big Bethesda fan. And I know that's kind of weird, because a lot of people are like, oh my God, Bethesda Studios are so sick, Fallout. Ugh. But like, I did not like Fallout. Like, I thought the combat just felt awful. The world is cool. Like the world and the story is cool, but the combat just always sucked to me for sure. And then same thing with Elder Scrolls. We'll say Elden Ring. With Elder Scrolls, it was like, it was kind of interesting having like this like first person sword and sorcery, you know, game. But it just never felt that good to me. Like it felt awkward and clunky. And so far Starfield is pretty cool. Like the space travel is really nice. You know, I just got a new ship, which is super sick. All the guns feel new and different, kind of thing. So far I'm really enjoying it. And it's very interesting to come into this, you know, Bethesda universe essentially, and actually being enjoying myself, kind of thing. So we'll probably do a whole episode on it once you start playing it, because I'm interested to see how you feel about it. But it just, you know, it's just another one of those, like 2023 is the year of gigantic awesome games, you know. And I just don't have enough time in the day to play all of them, you know? So now, you know, now I'm playing some Starfield. I'm still playing Diablo, because I still haven't reached level 100 on any of my characters or anything. And there's Legend of Zelda, which I never beat. There's Jedi Survivor that I never beat. And I feel like and Baldur's Gate is another, like, super long, in-depth RPG. It's like, God, there's... It's a good problem to have, where there's just too many awesome, good games that are just huge, though. You know, it's like, give me a fucking, you know, Uncharted or something, where I can just like roll through it in like, you know, 15 hours and be done with it. You know, it's a good problem to have, I suppose.
Yeah, I'd rather have the problem we're having is just not finish a game rather than...
Yeah, and I mean, we'll get there eventually, you know, where it's just like, I'll go back to Zelda eventually and play it, and then it'll be like, cool, I have a whole new Zelda game to play. Or, you know, same thing with Baldur's Gate and stuff. Eventually, I'll beat it, and it'll be like, oh, cool, I finally made it through. But it's just like, man, you want to play the new cool game on the scene, and it's just like, oh, there's so many of them. But I can't complain. It's a good problem to have. You know, I feel like with COVID there was some lean months there where there was like nothing coming out, and like all the games kind of got pushed back, and I think maybe we're finally seeing where all the things that were like delayed from COVID are now like dropping in and kind of thing. So it's exciting times for sure. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick little break for a word from our sponsors. And then when we come back, we're going to be talking all about Magic the Gathering's newest set, Wilds of Eldraine. We'll be right back. And we're back. So, Magic the Gathering, I know not everyone is a fan of it, but every, you know, when they release have a new release, they're called, it's called a new set. And, you know, there's themed ones all the time. There's different planes that they go to. And, you know, Lord of the Rings famously was the last big set that had like an actual theme to it. And now the newest one is Wilds of Eldraine. And I got to say, at least from a pricing standpoint, it felt really good to get back to somewhere within reality. You know what I mean? I feel like the past several sets have been so expensive. So to give a little context, right? The Lord of the Rings set, you know, all these prices are based off of Versus Games, which is my local San Francisco game store. But if you need any card game stuff, definitely go check those guys out. They're awesome. They're all super nice there. But to give you some context, a Lord of the Rings set booster box, which is, you know, the box of booster card, you know, booster packs, is $169.99. Now, this is, you know, months after it's come out, okay? $170 for a box. Then they did a Commander Master set. And when we talk about Masters sets in Magic, those are reprint sets. So cards that have, you know, historically been very high priced because they're very powerful, very sought after. Every once in a while, Magic will reprint them. And then it drives prices down a little bit, but gives more people more access to those cards, which is good because, like, you know, paying $130 for a piece of cardboard because you want a Jeweled Lotus doesn't feel super good. And so by infusing some of these reprints into the marketplace, it kind of helps settle those prices down, which is nice. But Commander Masters, they know that there's valuable reprints in there, so a set booster box for them was $367. That's why I stumbled over my words there, because it's an insane amount of money. So and I believe, you know, I think normally in a box of cards they give you 36 packs, I think it is, and this one I think was like 24 packs, so it's even less cards in the boosters for $366, which is insane. You know, collector's boosters boxes are the boxes that normally, like, you know, they have the rarer cards and stuff in them, you know, like the all the foil treatments and things like that. And like a normal you know, collector's booster box is, you know, somewhere around $200, you know, and but it's for 12 cards generally, right? Or 12 packs, I should say. So, you know, less packs, but higher quality cards in there, more expensive. The collector's edition for Commander Masters is $220, but for four packs. So $55 a pack. And like that's not counting if you wanted to buy them separately. Like if you just want to buy a single pack, it's probably around $60 or something like that.
I think it was $80.
$80. Yeah. Jesus Christ. So crazy. Yeah, so that's a long-winded way of bringing us into the Wilds of Eldraine, which is the newest set for Magic, and it's like a fairy tale themed set essentially. So it's on the plane of Eldraine, where fairy tales are, you know, come to life kind of thing. So there's gingerbread men, there's you know, candy people. There's Mother Goose and Red Riding Hoods and shit like that.
What I love about this set is they have some cool food stuff that I want to bring into my Hobbit deck.
Absolutely.
But they did like some horror themed, which I love horror, but yeah, they did a lot of horror themed stuff for the food. Like instead of a cream puff, it was called a scream puff.
Scream puff, yeah. I got one of those, yeah, for sure.
And then it was a mint something. It was like a minstrosity. And there was like, there was a whole bunch of stuff. And then there's the gentleman who makes the gingerbread man, they made him into a food artificer. So like he makes food tokens, but they turn into ginger men, and they can attack. So all your food tokens can attack. So there's a lot of cool stuff. There's a lot of creative, cool stuff that they did with
it. Right. And they did a new mechanic in this set where it's like token rolls. Auras or rolls. Yeah. Where basically they're kind of like enchantments in the regular set, but they're not temporary. They're created. So they're not maybe not as powerful as an actual card, but they give you some buffs and stuff, and you can put them on multiple people, which is pretty cool. But what's really cool about this set is you go into the store, like a Versus Games, if you will, in San Francisco, and it's $120 for a full set booster box, which feels real good to get back to normal pricing on these things. Because, man, it's like, you got to take out a loan to buy some of these fucking other products, and it feels real good. Like, and one of the things I do with this one particular store is they have what's called a Dreadnought membership where you pay monthly. It's like, I don't know, $20 a month or something, and you get discounted prices on all the cards. So for me, a set booster box is $100 instead of 120. So you buy one and, you know, you get paid for the month. And then a draft booster box, which is booster cards that are designed for the draft format, where you know pick a card and pass the pack around until everyone builds a deck out of that, it's only $65. So like, that feels real good after this real expensive time we've been having in Magic. Did it feel good for you when you went and bought a bunch of shit?
Oh yeah. So we got a booster box. We got the two commanders. We got a bundle. And all of it was like $300. And it's like, which would have been for Lord of the Rings, not even one collector's box.
Right.
And so it wouldn't even have covered that. And it would have been much less packs to open.
Right. Right. Yeah. And it sparked this argument in the Magic community where, you know, people are wondering, like, is this fair of Wizards of the Coast, right? Because when Magic first came out, and, like, we're fairly new Magic players, like, me especially, because I know you played previously a little bit. But, like, you know, we've been into this for, like, a year, basically. And back when Magic originally came out, there was just Magic booster packs. They all cost the same amount of money. The boxes cost the same amount of money. And every year they had newer cards that cost the same. Now, some cards on the secondary market became more expensive because they were valuable and rare and whatnot. You know, the Black Lotus being the most famous of those. But then, you know, now it seems like Wizards of the Coast, and by proxy, you know, Hasbro, because they own Wizards of the Coast, it seems to me like they are trying to get some of that secondary market pricing for themselves when it costs them the same amount of money to produce these cards. You know, it's like, I watched a YouTube video. I can't recall the channel's name, so apologies. But they kind of broke down one of the printing companies that Magic uses to print the cards, broke down like what their, you know, pricing would be. And it's like a penny a card or something like that. Right. And, you know, like, don't get me wrong, I understand they have to make money, but when you're charging this much for, you know, I'm sure we could break down what that, you know, Commander Masters, you know, set or collector set costs, you know, and like, I understand that, you know, foiling cards cost different and, you know, whatnot. But let's take a look at this.
I can understand why the Lord of the Rings, like paying licensing fees and all this, like kind of makes sense, I guess.
Yeah, and those ones make sense to me too. You know, Warhammer, Lord of the Rings, Doctor Who's coming out sometime this year as well. You know, that makes sense to me that paying those other intellectual properties should cost more. That's okay. Like Lord of the Rings, I had no problem with the pricing on it. Sure, like, would I like it cheaper? Yes, of course. But I understand why, right? Because it's a property that they do not own that they have to pay, you know, the Tolkien estate or what have you. But, like, Commander Masters...
well, they have to pay their own licensing fees, you know?
They got to pay themselves. So I just broke down for the $220 Commander Masters Collector Booster Pack or Booster Box... It comes out on average of $3.66 per card. So that's buying it retail in a box, right? Which is supposed to be the cheapest way of getting, you know, packs. And $3.66 per card when you know those cards cost around a penny, you know, or even 2 pennies to print each card. That's crazy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's just like, I just don't understand. Like,
I know that they did some new art for some of the cards, but a lot of them, they just repeated the art. So it's like, they didn't even have to hire a new artist. And I'm actually curious to how much an artist gets paid. And I doubt they get royalties, you know, like it's probably a flat fee. But I'm sure that they get played what they get paid for the artwork.
Right. Yeah, I would be interested. I know there's been some talks about that's why some cards are on the reserve list, which the reserve list in Magic is a list of cards that will never be reprinted. You know, Black Lotus, I think, is on there. And so are the Moxen, I believe, a lot of the original Moxen. And part of the reasoning was because in the early days, they had these very loosey-goosey contracts with the artists, and they don't want to have to go and repay them more for every card that they reprint, kind of thing. I don't know if that's true. That's just something I've heard. But yeah, it's crazy how expensive like the recent sets have been. And I hope that with all the negative press that the Commander Masters set got, that hopefully that Wizards will take that into account and maybe not push the envelope so hard. And I get it. It's a special set. It's got some really banger cards in there. But it's like, you've got to make this approachable for your fan base as well. You know what I mean? Like, it feels bad. Like, it felt bad for me not to be able to go out and buy a box. Like, I didn't have $335 to drop on this fucking thing or $200 to drop on 4 packs. You know what I mean? It just,
or at least for that kind of money, like, they should guarantee you like
something. Yes,
you know, the demonic tutor or like,
yeah,
I don't remember the other big ones that were in there.
There were so many. Jeweled Lotus was the big one. You know, that's like $120 card or whatever. Yeah, man, it just, and like, if you're going to charge that much, these shouldn't be normal packs. There should be no, for the uninitiated, I should say, in a booster pack of Magic cards, there's rarities of cards. There's common, uncommon, rare, and mythic rare. Mythic rare being the highest, the chase cards and whatnot. And so in a pack like that costs that much money, when we're talking like, you know, $65 a pack or whatever it was for these Commander Masters, there should be no common cards in there. You know what I mean? There should be, they should all be fucking rares or above for that kind of money. And it's like, you know, it feels bad to open a pack that's cost that much money and not be guaranteed that much value in cardboard. You know, one of the things we do whenever we buy packs, we scan our cards into a card tracker app that gives you the value of the cards and tracks all of the cards you own, right? So I use Mana Box Do you use Mana Box or use
Hellvolt? No, Hellvolt.
Hellvolt. I might be switching back to Hellvolt. You know, Mana Box is cool, but the scanner fucking sucks. But anyway, you know, it's part of the reason we're looking for the value of the cards is not necessarily that we're going to sell them, but it feels good to know that when you buy a $5 pack, there's at least $5 of value in there, you know? Or if you buy a $100 box, there's at least $100 of value. It like kind of reinforces and reassures you that like, I didn't just waste a bunch of money on this. So when you have these exceedingly high priced products where you're not guaranteed to like make your value back, it feels bad. So I don't know. How do you feel about the pricing of these most recent?
Well, definitely better about these new ones, and particularly because I got a doubling season, and I actually really enjoy all the artwork that's in this set. Some of it is very much like the Lord of the Rings, the 2D flat illustration,
mm-hmm.
which is cool, but I really like the tokens that they have in here. It's very much medieval, like tapestry art, which is,
yes,
it's great. Even like the 3/3 beast, I like. I've never been excited to get tokens in a deck, but I would get a 3/3 beast, and I was like, I love the artwork so much. I was like, yes, I got another one of these. And like, I don't even have 3/3 beast card, or like, I don't really have a deck that would I would use it in, but right. It's just the artwork was pretty cool on it. So for the artwork, and the cards are okay. I mean, I got doubling season, so I can't complain.
Yeah,
but there's a whole lot of
doubling season for the uninitiated. It basically doubles any tokens that you make and doubles any counters that you make, like +1/+1 counters or whatever. And it's like I think it's like a $40-$50 card kind of thing. So that this feels one, good when you pull
this one's 40. Although I was telling Cody off, yeah, there's an anime one. Let me see if I can find it. That I think it was like $200 or $300. Which obviously I didn't get, but that's
okay. Yeah, that's okay. You know, it feels good to pull an expensive card out of a pack, you know, even if it's not like the most expensive version or whatever, that's fine. It kind of reassures you like, ooh, it's like winning a little jackpot on a slot machine. Cause it is at the end of the day, it's gambling. Right. But yeah, it's just like, it feels good to be pulling, you know, to not spending a crazy, crazy amount of money and to be, you know, enjoying these cards again at a decent, you know, price kind of thing. But yeah, man, it's been a rough, like,
yeah, but the artwork has been great. I mean, the artwork alone has been really cool.
Wilds of Eldraine, artwork is cool. The mechanics are cool. I'm excited to play some of these cards and put some of these cards in decks of mine. I think that, you know, it's definitely a fun set, you know, with all the, you know, the fairy tale type stuff and seeing, like, their take on certain fairy tales. Like, they don't straight up call, like, the card Red Riding Hood, but it's, like, it was like something like Crimson Woodswoman or something like that. And
I actually love that. I think it's hilarious. Like how creative they have to get.
Yeah, exactly. And that, to me, that's super fun to see how they like skirt around like certain named fairy tales and stuff. It's super fun. And then like, I think I got like a Ginger Brute, which is like a yoked up gingerbread man.
Yeah.
And, I love the fairy tale aspect of it, which is like, I'm excited for more like regular old sets of Magic coming out. You know, I think that's, it was like, I didn't realize how much like I missed it basically. Cause if you think about the last sets that have come out, last one was Commander Masters, which kind of left a bad taste in everyone's mouth. Then it was Lord of the Rings, which like we loved, of course, like Lord of the Rings is fucking sick, but it's also not necessarily like Magic or Magic characters, you know what I mean? So it's like, oh, you're excited for a different reason. And then before that, it was like, remember March of the Machines Aftermath?
That like no one, pretty bad.
Yeah. No one bought. Yeah, it was only like 36 cards total, or 56.
That was cards. That I think since we started playing, that probably had to be the wackest set.
Yeah, I didn't buy any, so That was the first one since we started playing that I didn't buy anything from.
And then the next set that he's not going to buy is going to be Doctor Who.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I just don't care about Doctor Who, which is, it's fine. You know, it's like, I look at those sets, you know, things like Doctor Who and Warhammer and Lord of the Rings. The cool part about it is it gets people who weren't playing Magic into playing Magic. I mean, I'm a perfect example. The reason I got into Magic the Gathering was because of the Warhammer Commander decks. And now I found this new hobby that I really enjoy. And so, like, it's good for the company and it's good for the player base, which is exciting. So even though I'm not going to maybe buy any, I might buy a couple single cards if they work in decks that I have or whatever, but that's okay. I'm okay with that because it'll bring new people in. And
they need to start expanding it to like fandoms that they haven't touched at all, like sports. Like, oh, here's the football team stuff. Oh, here's the 49er ones. Like,
yeah, oh, God.
I don't know enough about sports to start naming players, but
yeah.
Here's the Curry, whatever his first
Steph
name
Curry.
Is. Yeah. Yeah, like his card or whatever, you know?
You know what's funny is, so there's a secret lair out right now, which are like these limited edition Magic drops that are baseball cards of popular Magic the Gathering characters. So there's like Chandra, who's like this pyromancer planeswalker, and she's like got fireballs, like she's gonna pitch it kind of thing.
See, they're already flirting with the idea. Gonna happen. Like,
yeah, it's gonna be like the Magic the Gathering new Topps baseball card set.
Absolutely.
Come with bubblegum in the packs. That'd be fucking sick.
Yeah, see, they're gonna fucking do it for sure.
Yeah.
Or just like bands, I don't know, like they start putting hipster bands, like, oh, you've never heard of this card.
They've already done Post Malone, so
See, there you go.
They could do it.
Oh, actually, like a 90s gangster rap set would be fucking dope. Fucking
NWA. Like...
I guess they can't do fuck the police, right? But it would be like fuck the knights or whatever. Like, I don't know.
I don't think they'd put fuck on a magic card. Yeah.
That reminded me. I do want to say one of the cards I thought was hilarious, how they were trying to get away from certain characters, was for Snow White. Was she the witch? What was the villain in Snow White?
Yeah, the bad queen, the evil queen, or whatever.
Oh yeah. So instead of whatever her name was, it said conceited witch, and it was her in front of the mirror, mirror, like,
yeah,
it was the fairest of them all. Yeah. I thought that was pretty fucking funny.
That was pretty awesome. Yep. Well, let us know down in the comments if you're into Magic the Gathering and if you're excited about Wilds of Eldraine. Let us know if you pulled any cool cards out of your packs. And also let us know if you're excited for Doctor Who. If you're a Doctor Who fan out there, I know we shit on it most of the time on this podcast because I hate it so much. But if you're excited about the set, are you going to pick up some packs for that? Maybe learn how to play Magic. We'd love to hear from you guys down in the comments. It helps us out, helps people find us on the old YouTubes and whatnot. So thank you for liking and subscribing, hitting up the Patreon, nerdswithfriendspodcast.com. All the info is there. Christian, it's good to be back in cheap Magic territory again.
It's not even cheap, it's just regular
price. Regular price, yeah. Regular $100 a box of cardboard. To all the nerds out there, remember, you're not alone. You're with friends. This is Nerds with Friends. Thank you. Good night.